Father, we come before you and we thank you for this opportunity you've given us to go through this epistle of James. It's an exciting book and just, it's about practical living, how we're to live our lives, why we deal with things that we deal with, and what faith is all about. And so, Lord, I pray for this morning's teaching that you would bless it. God, that you would open up our understanding to understand what James is saying here to us, Lord, even though this was written to the Jews who had become Christians. And Father, I just pray for a special blessing on this for all who will be listening to this teaching. We thank you, God, and we give you the praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to be looking at James chapter 1, verses 2 to 12, and I titled the message something that people have been asking since the fall of mankind. Why does God allow us to go through trials? You know, when I first read verse 2, count it all joy when you fall into various trials back in 1981, I just came off the streets. And I'm thinking, you know what? This dude's on dope, man. He's doing drugs. How can you have joy when you're getting slammed? When you're getting hit and hammered. But then as I grew and mature, I understood what God was doing. So to set the stage, James, of course, he's writing to the Jews who had become Christians. At this time, they were scattered abroad. And he was trying to encourage them to rejoice, especially because of the heavy trials that they were going through. And so we're going to see what James meant in that as we read beginning in verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation, because as a flower of the field, he will pass away. For no sooner has the sun risen with a burning heat than it withers the grass. Its flower falls and its beautiful appearance perishes. So the rich man also will fade away in his pursuits. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. So James is saying, when you go through trials, don't freak out as if some terrible thing just happened to you. I mean, I watch people. I mean, I trip out. Let me just not say people. James is making the point, you need to rejoice. Why in the world would he tell us to rejoice when we're looking at possibly losing everything we have and own, everything being taken from us? Why would we rejoice? Here's the reason why. Because God is testing you in this way. Your testing is proof that you are one of his children, one of his kids. I've been asked, do Christians have to have joy in the midst of their trials and in the pressures of this life? Well, let me put it this way. You shouldn't say, oh, it's just the will of God for me in my life, then walk around looking defeated and sad all the time like you just sucked on a lemon. You simply cannot say you're in God's will until you can rejoice. God doesn't give us trials just to give us trials. Patience is God's purpose behind the trials we go through. It's speaking about the attitude of our heart toward the trial. Joy should be the result of the trial. We should have joy. In Hebrews 12, we see one thing God uses in the life of the believer, and that's chastening. Chastening. What does that mean? It literally means child training. You getting the picture here? Child training. The point is, trials will mean nothing. The suffering of going through them will mean nothing. And the testing will mean nothing unless there is a purpose for them. I believe the Apostle Paul nailed it on the head when he wrote in Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Not some things, not most things, all things. When we're going through the pressure of testing, and when we're in the midst of adversity or tragedy, suffering, our attitude should be that of faith. Faith that God has allowed these things for a reason, that God has a plan and a purpose for them, and that God, behind the scenes, is working all of it out for his glory and his kingdom. He has our best interest in mind. It comes down to know that God is working something in our lives. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean he's going to give us a clue or really understand what his purpose is in it. All we need to know, it's a test of faith. So whatever you're going through now, it's a test of faith. You are God's child. You're his son. You're his daughter. God has his purposes in the testing of faith, and that testing is the proof of genuine faith. It's a way he creates patience in our lives. You know, I think it's safe to say after four plus decades of walking with the Lord, I can testify from personal experience. You will never become patient by trying to be patient. Patience only comes through suffering and testing. I mean, you could try as hard as you want. You will never be a perfect or complete believer without patience. It's just not going to happen. I've met people who had been Christians for years, and yet they've never grown up. They're still babies in the Lord. Hebrews 5 verses 12 to 14 talks about that. God will test us, and that testing will cause us to grow. It'll cause us to grow up. Paul wrote patience is one of the results of being justified by faith. Romans 5 verses 3 to 5. Here's a problem I see today. Christians try to figure things out on their own. And even worse, they begin to question God and God's word. Well, they've never grown up. They are still babies. They don't understand and know to trust God. And when there's a blessing, when something opens up in their lives, it's easy to try to explain it off another way than to say, you know what? God had his hand on this and he took care of it. I mean, do we really believe God is in control of everything in this world and in our lives? And yet we can easily write it off. The word wisdom in verse 5 is related to the trials James has been talking about. You see, in these trials, if we lack wisdom in knowing what to do, James tells us what to do. Go to God in prayer and then wait for an answer from him, or until God gives us instruction as to what he would have us to do. The problem with us, we don't want to wait. If it seems like God's not answering, we go ahead of God. That's when we get in trouble. Wisdom is using the knowledge God has given to us, what God uses others to give us in biblical counseling. Some people have knowledge, but they don't understand the means of how to put it to use. That's why James comes right out and says, God will give out wisdom liberally. That means God will simply help you out during the tough times. If you ask Him, if you trust Him, if you put it in His hands. Sometimes a problem could be you just haven't taken God at His word. You just don't believe God. You know, when it comes to the Bible, you can't pick and choose what you like to believe. You take 100% of it or you take none of it. That's what it is. It is God's word. I stand on it. My very life, my very next breath depends on God's word. Maybe you expect everything to be great overnight. Maybe you have issues with God that you need to make right with Him. I mean, you could trust Christ as your Savior. You can believe He saved you and that you're going to heaven. But then you go sideways when you have to deal with issues. Where's God? He ends up on the back burner. Where's your faith that God is capable of working everything out? We say we believe God is going to work it out. But then what happens is we dive into it ourselves and we end up making our own decision on what we're going to do instead of waiting on God to bring us through it. I'll be the first to tell you, I can handle when God says, no, I might not like it, but I can handle it. I can handle when God says, okay, who can't handle that one, right? But man, when God says, Ricky, you gotta wait. It's like, I don't want to wait. Just say no, God. Just let it all crumble down. I don't want to wait. God wants us to wait. Let's be honest. How many times have you turned a problem over to the Lord and believed Him just to later take it back and not believe Him? If people don't see God working the problem out, they try to solve it themselves. That's where they mess things up and things get really, really bad. Let me give you a little counsel. If you're going to work your problem out for yourself, then God can't work it out for you. It's that plain and simple. God will, He'll just sit back, cross His arms and say, go for it. Vamanos. Do it. You think you can deal with it? Go ahead. When you're done, I'll be waiting. This is why James is saying you're like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. You go back and forth. You're not stable. I hear people say all the time, I don't have anything in this life. Well, let me be the first one to tell you that if you are God's son or God's daughter, you are extremely wealthy because you have treasure in heaven and for all eternity. Remember, this is all going to pass. We're not living in these bodies for 1,000 years or eternity. We've got a certain amount of time and that's it. How many times do we stop and think of what we have in Jesus Christ? We have everything in Him. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 3, verses 21 to 23, therefore, let no one boast in men. For all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come. All are yours, and you are Christ, and Christ is God's. We belong to Jesus Christ. That means everything He has, He'll also give to us. We have life. We have blessings. It's all from Him. Whatever we're going through today, I'm here to tell you, you can be excited and you can have joy. Because you're God's kid and He is working this baby out, man. And it's going to come out for your best. You could be the poorest person on earth, but you're rich in Christ. And you have something to look forward to. James goes on to say, if you're rich here on earth, don't rejoice in it. Because you're not going to have your riches for long. Newsflash, we can't take it with us. God wants us to be mature. That's why He takes us through times of testing, trials, and suffering. He tests us to see whether we are for real or not. If we're just playing Christianity, if we're playing games with God, like a genie. God, I need you right now. And then when you're done with them, you put them back in your back pocket. If we're playing games with God, God will remove us. He will remove us. Okay, so what do we need to do? Here's the key. Don't look at your trials and think you're not one of God's kids. Look at them as proof you are His and you are a person of faith. Keep in mind, everyone else in the world is going through things. I love what Peter said in 1 Peter 5, verses 8 to 9. He said, be sober. That word sober means to be alert. It means have nothing clouding your thinking, your mind. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him. How do you resist him? Steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. You know, if you're not going through trials, you need to question your salvation if you're really saved. But if you're having trials, I'm telling you, it's an excellent sign you are God's kid. You're one of His, man. Even though God has many reasons for His testings, James is emphasizing patience. In verse 12, the word temptation can be translated as testing or trying. Temptation and testing is what God uses for developing our faith. Not only does God use this to help us grow, not only does He use it to develop patience in our lives. You ready for this? God has something else in mind. The crown of life. The crown of life. I know testing of any kind, especially if it's severe, it has a tendency to cause us to become pessimistic. It gives us a feeling of hopelessness. I've been there many times. But when genuine faith is tested and things look really, really bad, when everything seems to be torn apart and lost, just gone, that's when we need to recognize and know it's not the end. God is working things out behind the scenes. Hold on to your horses. He's going to work this out. It can really get bad before things start to turn around and get better. Remember that. A scripture I love is Psalm 30, verse 5. It says, for His anger is but for a moment. His favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. If you're weeping now, I'm here to tell you that joy is coming. It's coming. I've noticed people who have suffered tragically. They've been brought into a closer and deeper relationship with the Lord. It seems like we have to go through really, really tough stuff for us to be in the place where God wants us to be with Him. Suffering not only brings us into a loving relationship with Christ, it also causes us to look forward to that day when we will come into His presence and He gives us the crown of life. Now, some have misinterpreted this crown as referring to salvation, but that crown represents rewards. It's what a believer is given for enduring. Whatever trial it is we're going through now, as we're enduring it, it's going to be your crown of life. Don't stop. Don't let go. And I'm not going to get into them, but there are five crowns mentioned in Scripture which are given as rewards to believer. The incorruptible crown, 1 Corinthians 9:25. The crown of life, James 1:12 right here. Jesus also made reference to this crown in Revelation 2, verse 10. Third, the crown of glory, 1 Peter 5:4. Fourth, the crown of rejoicing, 1 Thessalonians 2:19. Fifth, the crown of righteousness, 2 Timothy 4:8. These crowns are for those who keep their bodies under control and keep their eyes on the goal. Remember, Jesus said in Matthew 24:13, "But he who endures to the end shall be saved." One thing about testing, it will either drive you to the Lord or you'll become bitter, mad, angry, and it will drive you away from God. As a Christian, you'll become bitter or you'll become better. It's totally up to you. It's totally how you want to deal with testings and trials. Imagine when we come into Christ's presence and we've let the very thing that our Heavenly Father was using to develop our character and to bring us into a loving relationship with the Lord make us bitter. We'll never receive the crown of life until we've been through the testing that God is using to mature us and bring patience into our lives. I mean, life might not seem to be that great today, but the flower is withering, and our riches won't deliver us. Here's the facts. We will all stand before Jesus Christ at the Bema Seat. Everyone is going to stand before Him. Non-believers will stand before Him at the Great White Throne Judgment, Revelation 20. All believers will stand before Him at the Bema Seat, 1 Corinthians 5, verses 11 to 15, to see whether or not they will receive these crowns. Let me finish with saying this. I'm not greedy, but I want all the crowns. I want as many as I can get, because when I come before Jesus, as we studied in the book of Revelation, the elders, they took the crowns off of their heads and they laid them down at Jesus' feet in appreciation for Him. That's going to be us. That will be us in that day, laying our crowns down because we endured. We made it through these trials and these testings, the sufferings that this life dishes out as God was testing us to show our faith genuine or not genuine. Father, we come before You. We thank You for Your word. We thank You for the things You continue to teach us. And Lord, now that we know why You allow these trials in our lives, I pray that it would make us better and not bitter. I pray it would strengthen us. I pray that we would understand scripturally, biblically, that You are working things out for our good behind the scenes. It just takes time sometimes. It just takes time. Help us to endure through this. We love You and we thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.